The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Thank you so much for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me is Crystal Parker, her second time. She was with me back in February, and it was my pleasure back then to have Crystal on, having no idea back then that she was going to be stepping in the role that Mark Goldstein has filled for many years as the president of the Central Florida Chamber. So it's great to have you with us again, Crystal. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. You might have had an inkling of a thought back in that time frame that these things might be transpiring, but I didn't. and here you are, and it's so great. Now, just to refresh everybody, you are the leader of your own company called Intent and Impact, and this is a kind of give the thumbnail about what your company is and what you do.
Oh, you bet. Well, thank you, Mike. And no, we certainly didn't have an idea that this was in motion at that time. And it was just God's perfect timing and how it all rolled out. And just having spoken at the chamber in February as the luncheon speaker, it was perfect because it really gave people an opportunity to get to know me and what I do. And what I spoke on at that time was, you know, basically behaviors and personalities in the workplace and how to deal with some of those difficult people in the workplace. And with my company, Intent and Impact, what I do is I focus on board level strategy and boards, and I work with at the executive level in development and organizational development programs.
Well, that sounds very exciting and very important. And, you know, knowing that you came to Central Florida from working in the Midwest for a large, was it an energy company, I believe?
Yes, it was oil. I always say I cut my teeth in oil and gas, and I actually started out in the fields as a temporary employee stocking shelves. I had dropped out of college. And I thought, what am I going to do? And so I just got with a temp agency, started stocking shelves in one of the subsidiary gas companies. And I really just developed this love and adoration for business. And I just started to grow. And as I was growing and evolving and moving from position to position, I finished my degree in psychology and continued to grow in the company. Just unbelievable, amazing, only God can explain kind of situations that happened throughout my career. And I was the youngest executive in a Fortune 199 oil and gas company. And I was in my early 30s, and I was able to accomplish that in just 11 years, right in my 11th and 12th year from starting as a temp agent, stocking shelves, to being an executive overseeing the west side of Texas, all of the gas, the natural gas distribution company, as well as customer service for the entire state. I didn't have any experience in service, construction, engineering, and corrosion, PC&M. I was overseeing all of that. And that was just the position that the Lord put me in at that time. And after 15 years, I made a decision, and God kind of just showed me the way to close that door and open my own business with Intent and Impact and help more people.
What drew you from Texas to Florida?
Just a series of life events. And unfortunately, we only have an hour or 50 minutes on this show, Mike. So,
life made a way.
Life made a way. He shined a light right on my path. The Lord did and brought me in here. And we absolutely love Central Florida. We love it here. This is home. I've been trying to recruit my family that's still in Kansas to come out. And it does seem that their stay does get a little longer every time they come. So that's a good sign.
Well, it used to be the allure years ago, the allure of the weather, and you know, not so much in the summertime, I might add, because it's hot here in the summertime, but boy, is it nice here in the wintertime. And I think most people from Kansas would say, hey, I'll take that wintertime weather in Florida any day over what we have to deal with in Kansas. Plus, we have a few less tornadoes here as well than they do there.
Yeah, we do. We have these incredible storms, though, that are hurricanes. That was interesting to experience those. But I felt like it was winter this morning. It was in the upper 70s this morning. Got to get out this morning and spend some time with the Lord. It was calm and just a beautiful day today.
I never complained about weather in Florida, because at the end of the conversation, you always come back, but hey, this is Florida. And that's kind of what we all signed up for moving here. And so
that's right.
It is warm and it is nice. And I'm grateful to God that He has stationed us here. And it's just a wonderful thing to be in the middle of God's will. And that really does seem like that's exactly where you are now. And you've gotten here. The company was great. You spoke, like you said, at the chamber in February. Mm-hmm. And that was so informative to hear you speak about, because you're unlike many people who get a degree in something. You actually use some of that degree in business and looking at the psychology and the working of the personalities. It really does help, doesn't it, to be an executive level, an understanding of the different personality types and the ways to deal with people, the way to manage people. That really was a very informative talk that you gave, and that is very helpful for you to have that as a background.
Well, thanks. Absolutely. People don't leave companies. They leave people. And, I think one of the things that made me very successful in oil and gas with that psychology major was I was working predominantly with engineers, and their focus was on processes, which processes are important in the business. However, people are ultimately the reason that things succeed, get done, and the more you can motivate, communicate, and inspire the team, it's so important. And then I went on to finish and get my master's degree in marketing. And that was really important in my career as well, because there's so many ideas and there's so many amazing things that are just buried in the cemetery. People didn't know how to sell themselves or sell their ideas. And so I thought that was the next logical step in my career and development path. And then once the corporate team heard that I was, getting my master's, they sent me to Harvard Business School for senior executive leaders to focus on globalization, leadership diversity, and innovation. And that has just really inspired me. And then that was part of the evolution of me going in to start my own company. Because again, I just have such a passion for business and just to be able to help people be successful. And really, truly, the dichotomy of a successful business is equal parts strategy and equal parts leadership. One without the other is not able to truly help a company be successful. I've seen so many times, Mike, where the focus is on strategy, but they forget about the people, or the focus is on the people and they forget about the strategy. So having an equal part of each is so important. And so then you've got this girl, right? This woman who has just such a passion for business. I often say that I'm kind of a business nerd, and a heart just pouring out for Christ. I just love Jesus Christ, and I'm unapologetic about that and what He's done for us, and the sacrifice that He gave so that I could have life everlasting with Him in heaven. And how do you put those two together but sit me in at the Christian Chamber of Commerce and let me help businesses and bring everyone together? And I just feel like it's such a neat assignment that I'm right in the will of where God has me right now.
What a tremendous thought that you've just given us in that that outlook about, it really would apply, wouldn't it, to any business leadership, a position of any kinds of business. All the entrepreneurs that are out there would know. And I think I remember hearing people talk about business owners that the main thing is the hard work. And that's not, there's no doubt about it that hard work is part of the recipe for any success in any business, but it does take more than just mere hard work. I heard a definition, for example, of laziness one time that, mm-hmm. that defined laziness, and it's not the lack of doing anything, because a person can be very, very busy, but not doing what they need to be doing. So laziness is not the absence of being busy. Laziness is the absence of doing what is needed to be done when it needs to be done. So if you take that kind of a concept and you put this into business, a business owner needs more than just being busy, needs more than just hard work at that business. There needs to be this thing that you've described as strategy and mm-hmm. and then leadership. Describe, if you will, the difference in those two.
Yeah. Well, I've heard before people have said, you know, an entrepreneur is the only job that you work 80 hours a week to avoid a 40-hour work week. And I think that's so true. But the problem and the challenge is to ensure the things that you're working on are moving you forward. And if you are just an entrepreneur by yourself out there, or you have a team, it's really important to know that the things that you're working on are moving you towards the greater goal. And I just think that your point about being busy or lazy, you know, that sometimes there's a similarity there. And as a parent of a 13-year-old child, I can completely attest to that, because I see her up there in her room and she's very busy. She, you know, these kids, they're on the internet, they're doing all this stuff, and she's very busy mentally, very active. But then when it comes to things around the house or the room or whatever, it's just not being done. And I think that's a great and perfect illustration of what it is for a business, because your employees, they may be very busy doing the wrong thing, mm-hmm. but they think they're doing the right thing. And so making sure that you understand that what the goal is, and then the action and activity that you're doing in your business and that your employees are doing in their business gets you to the end goal. I once did a presentation for the senior leaders at One Oak, and I talked about if everybody were going to go take a trip, and we were all going to take a trip somewhere, and this trip required a passport, it required savings, it required money, it required taking time off, it required all of these things, the facets of international travel, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what if people didn't know where they were going? What if people thought they were staying in the United States? So making sure that you clearly set the vision, clearly set the goal, and then align the action and activity to ensure that everybody gets there. Because if you have 100 employees, Mike, and they're all working and busy, but they're not doing the things that move the ball forward or move the organization forward, and they're all working together, you just have choppy water. Mm-hmm. So how important and how effective is it when everybody understands clearly that their activity is working towards the greater goal? First of all, it puts purpose in people. When people show up and they know that they're part of something bigger and they're part of the team and they're what they do matters, whew, you've got a really dedicated employee for life. And so once everybody's working together, instead of choppy water, now you have a tsunami, you have a wave, you have a movement and a motion that's unstoppable.
You know, I heard a long time ago that if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. I think that's a very helpful explanation to me that I get when I'm thinking about all this. You've got to know in a way. I don't think anybody knows, no business owner, no individual that works for any company ever truly knows all of the places that God's going to take us. And that's part of the adventure of life. But I do believe he gives us that understanding, and that has been so wonderfully described by you as strategy, that we can know we're kind of aiming in the right direction. And some of those steps that we're taking, we may not know all of what's behind doors that are in front of us, but we know we're supposed to be going in that direction. And then there's a Bible verse, Crystal, that this really does kind of bring up in my mind, and it's that verse that says, "Where there's no vision, my people perish." And years ago, I found that the, I believe it was the NIV version of the NIV of that translation, it was so much more helpful to me. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. And so there's nothing to restrain us from going in the, you know, from doing what we need to be doing if we don't see what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And I believe that really does describe a lot of what happens in today's people, a lot of young people. They really don't see where it is, or they they don't have a revelation of understanding what they should be doing. So we remove any barrier, we remove any restraint, we remove anything that would normally just keep us on that straight and narrow way. You know, I used to do, when I was a kid, racing with cars, and we had these wonderful places. Nobody, you never hear about this anymore, but they were called slot cars. Have you ever heard of what a slot car is?
I do not know what it is.
Well, just a quick explanation. It was a lot of fun. It was a little car that you would take, and it had like its own motor, and it had this thing called the slot that would be in the front of it. And you would take this car, and it's electric run by electric. You'd have a controller with it and all of that. And it's like a joystick type of thing. And you would take it to these places. They were like in arcade places, and you could race your slot car against other people on these big tracks. And that slot kept that car going in the race. And if you ever mismanaged your speed and that thing popped out of the slot, well, your race was over. So you were no longer being powered. And I think that's what vision does. Vision keeps us in the slot. Vision keeps us on the track. And that's something that works and helps me in this, as I'm going on this.
Yeah, that's a neat illustration. And it's just so important. And sometimes I kind of think back to the vision that I've had for my life and how different it's become. And I think it's really important, you know, and I'm glad you pointed us back into the Bible for that, because, you know, really seeking God is part of defining and developing that vision, because oftentimes we don't know. And a neat story that happened, I know that you had Peter Lowe on your show, and he was our lunch speaker for the relationship building lunch for the chamber. And as I was thinking about how am I going to introduce Peter, I mean, you heard him on the show, he's so dynamic, and he's so special and called and anointed. And I was thinking, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, to have the opportunity to introduce somebody like Peter Lowe. And so I was like, okay, I get to introduce Peter Lowe. What am I going to say that would be meaningful? And coincidentally, I had a lot of boxes that I had got from Mark, the former president of the chamber, and I had in my house, because now I've got files and things like that. I have this file cabinet, Mike, that I've moved with me 8 times. And I've moved a lot, because the life of an oil and gas exec, you do move quite a bit, specifically Southwest Midwest Kansas. And so in this file cabinet, I thought, well, I'm going to go through it and, you know, and see, make some space for these files. So I'm going through this file cabinet, and I find some of the really special treasures that I've had and carried with me all these years. For example, you know, first baby pictures from the little one. I found a book that was about the church that I grew up in that my dad had given to me. I found just some really neat mementos. And as I'm sitting there, I'm holding something in my hand. And I'm holding it, and I can't in my mind realize the head and the mind and the heart, everything just kind of went stopped. And do you know, I was holding the 25th commemorative magazine from a success seminar of Get Motivated with Peter Lowe, meaning years and years and years ago, I was one of 40,000 people sitting in an auditorium, attending a success seminar that Peter Lowe was put on, that was speaking at. And I'm holding this, and I even opened it to see that I, in my handwriting, was in there, and I had copious notes. And I just got to thinking, imagine if God would have tapped me on the shoulder amongst the sea of people and said to me, one day you're going to be introducing Peter Lowe to speak at an event that you're putting on. I would have laughed. Right?
Right.
So but the point that I'm making, and it really speaks to what you're talking about for vision, is really setting in, seeking God, because we don't know all the steps. We don't necessarily know all the answers, but we do know we're working, and we're working for Him. And some days we're working really hard, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of hours, and it doesn't feel like you've moved anything forward. But if you really seek the vision of what Christ has for you and for who you are, and you know whose you are, then He will direct you on what to do. And of course, there's some strategy pieces there. That's part of growth. That's why leaders need to be around other leaders. They need to be in groups of people that are going to keep them very sharp. You've got to spend time in personal development and growth.
You know, it's so
Christ is the number one thing.
I agree. And it's so exciting to see how God is so kind and so involved mm-hmm. in our life, because the truth of it is, you think about it, you've moved all those times, you had that file cabinet, you had the contents, and you could have uncovered that a month after you interviewed or mm-hmm. introduced Peter Lowe, and it wouldn't have had that impact in your life. It wouldn't have had that impact in all of the people that heard that. But how good is God that He allowed that to happen just in that moment, right as you were looking and saying, how can I introduce this guy that I really respect? And boom, there's something from your life that you didn't even remember all the details, and you get to go back and you get to see your own handwriting. That's a fascinating reality of how God is involved. You know, the Bible says He knows every hair on our head. You know, my joke is that He knows me. Sometimes it feels when I look at my own hairline, there's less of me to know than there used to be. But I am grateful that He still knows every hair on my head, and He is involved intimately with us in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to a young lady that is no longer in Kansas. Her name is not Dorothy. It's Crystal. Well, we're glad to have her on the line today on Afternoons with Mike. Crystal Parker is the new leader of the Central Florida Christian Chamber, and she owns her own company called Intent and Impact. And we'll be back with Crystal coming up in just a moment here on The Shepherd. On the phone with Crystal Parker, and Crystal leads her company Intent and Impact. And in addition to that, recently being named the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber. Now, we've talked about that program or that organization a lot on this show. And the reason is that, well, number one, Mark Goldstein has been such a friend to me. When I met him, kind of met him incidentally, I was having a meeting with Scott George, the pastor at Pinecastle United Methodist. And Scott said, you know, I really think, Mike, that you would enjoy meeting this guy. So I'm going to ask him to hang around. And boom, we hit it right off. His background was in radio. We knew some of the same people from years ago when I lived in Orlando in the beginning. And it's just been a wonderful fountain that has introduced not only to me personally, but through this program that I do, just untold numbers of speakers that Mark's contacts have been so helpful. And so he has been, for me, such a joy and delight, and I've enjoyed that. And so through him, I've gotten to meet people like yourself, who was because you were a speaker at the chamber meetings. And just talk about for a moment the chamber and what goes on in that. So when you moved back or moved here from what your jobs were out in Texas and Kansas and all that, what was your thought when you first came to this thing called the chamber meeting?
Sure. Well, I was actually, Mark is just an amazing person and has countless contacts and people that he knows that know him, that he just is incredibly connected and awesome at connecting the right people. It's a real talent that he has and a gift. So when I first found out about the chamber, it was actually through a friend of mine that does my wealth management, Aaron Kessler. and he's also a chamber member. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, and Aaron is familiar with DISC, and I was telling him about, you know, DISC and personality and what I did in my business. And he said, you know, there's somebody I think you really need to meet, and it's Mark Goldstein. And so I reached out to Mark, and immediately he set up a time to sit down with me. And I remember calling home to my mom and saying, Mom, the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is going to take time to meet with me personally. Like, I just thought that was the neatest thing ever. And we spent 2 hours talking and talking about the chamber, and it was just, it was a phenomenal meeting. And who knew that Mark would leave that meeting and tell his wife that he met the person that's going to replace him.
Which is exactly what he did after that first meeting that you had.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep. And that was a year ago this month, because once I realized what the chamber was and how it would benefit my business and give me an opportunity to connect and build relationships with Christian business leaders in the community, I immediately jumped in and became a member of the Christian Chamber.
And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that may not know anything about this particular thing. What I love about it, it's not the fact that why it's mentioned is because it's such a great organization. It is a good organization. But the reason that makes it so special is that the heart of this group is that it is relational. The heart of this group is that it's made up of people who are really trying to do their very best and be successful at bringing the kingdom of God into everything that they do, both personally in their lifetime, but also in their business. And I think that's what's made this group so much fun. So it's not like a networking thing. Where I've been in some places and some meetings where it really does feel like you're in with a dozen or however big the meeting is, a couple of hundred of people who are all looking to see what they can get out of you. And that is not what this group does. This group is very relational because, first and foremost, the heart that Mark has made in all these years that he's been leading it is that he's wanting to build the kingdom of God through this thing. And that's exciting. What a difference that is. And I think it's apparent in the people that attend, and it's demonstrated in the fact that Mark was so willing to sit down with you and spend the kind of time he did.
Yes, there's definitely relational impact and partnerships with purpose. Absolutely. That's it. You know, as I walked into the president role, and I think today's the 17th, so for my 17th day, you know, I looked at the organization as a whole, and I thought to myself, what is the one common denominator? Why do people come here? And what is the one thing that's just off limits that we need to truly safeguard and hold with everything that we have? And that is the kingdom aspect of this group. We're all, the common denominator between every single person that's in that chamber is that we all share Christian belief, okay? And so that's the piece that I want to safeguard, kingdom building. Mm-hmm. And so we actually move that to the front of our mission. So our mission is to build the kingdom, build business, and build community. And Mark has absolutely shepherded this organization so amazing over the years. And he's even just been so helpful in this transition to make sure that it's successful and that the Christian Chamber continues to grow. And just an amazing leader.
Well, I'm grateful for him, grateful that you have taken over the reins of this group. And Mark has used for the entire time I've known him a phrase that is so interesting, and it's exciting. And I think even if people don't know it and wouldn't necessarily be excited at first understanding the phrase, the meaning behind the phrase is something to really grab hold of. And that is the idea that we are all, that every one of us are marketplace ministers. And that concept of our growing where we're planted in life. And I think for so many, this is something that I had a discussion with with Patrice Age, who is with the Nehemiah Project, and he was on a couple of days ago on my show. And I know you've really been a part of that big event, the ribbon cutting and everything that took place yesterday with that organization, their new presence in Central Florida with the e-community and all of that. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. But we were talking about the fact that every one of us, we're called to do just what you were saying. We're called to build the kingdom. And I think that a misnomer has been with a lot of people that the only way that you can ever build the kingdom is if you're in some sort of pastoral role, and that is really not the case. Thank God for pastors, and I would just like to say that we're not talking about anything that is to be rival to the church. I spent 36 years as a pastor, and I have a great, just a great love for the church, something that God put there. I didn't initially have that because my ideas of the church were, I believe in my young life, were really kind of just skewed, and I just didn't understand the purposes that God has. But the church is not the building either. The church is not a church building. The church is the people. That's really the best definition of what is the church. And we do meet in a church building. Grateful we do most of the time, but not all the time. Sometimes people meet in storefronts when they're renting out a storefront or a theater or a restaurant or wherever it is. The church meets there. So when the church goes home on Sunday and gets up on Monday, the church is to go out into the community and be a marketplace minister. And that's really what we're called to do.
Wow, you said a lot right there. So I would love to rewind that and hear it again. But you're right. You know, if anything, more than ever, we've had an opportunity to see what church is specifically where we can't meet in that building. And I think of leaders like pitchers of water. We constantly pour and pour and pour and pour and pour into others. And so going to church and getting that reset and hearing the word, but it can't leave there. You know, that's part of refilling your pitcher so you can go back out and pour some more into people. But the challenge that is in business today is we are doing business in a fallen and broken world.
Yes, we are.
Not everybody believes like we do. Not everybody practices kingdom building like we do. And it's hard out there. And Patrice, you talked about him. I was just over there for their ribbon cutting yesterday. Phenomenal event. We had a lot of Central Florida Christian Chamber members that came out to support them as well. Patrice and I were talking about the masks. And this isn't about the mask, the facial covering. So please just allow me to illustrate, because I'm not debating whether or not it's right or wrong, certainly. But it is a great illustration. So he and I were talking about, you know, how the facial coverings, you know, there were just a few people that had them on and some that didn't. And he and I, just in jest, were talking about, well, do you wear yours and whatever else? When you think about a Christian, right? We're called to be set apart. And just using the mask as an illustration, you may see a person with one, you may see a person without one, and so forth. When you think about a Christian, a belief, a person that's following Christ in the workplace, imagine that they stand out, they're set apart. So when you think about ethics in the workplace and doing the right thing, your competition may not be doing the right thing. Your coworker may not be doing the right thing and getting recognition because they're fudging their numbers or they're doing something unethical. So for us to be able to compete, the temptation is there sometimes to maybe do the wrong thing, to easily get pulled into doing what everybody else is doing. And so as a Christian in the marketplace, working in and among many different ethical backgrounds and principles, we need a place where we can go to support each other and say, you're doing the right thing. Keep your eye on Christ. Keep your eye on following what you believe is the right thing to do. because all that other stuff, right, that's going on, you will stand out. You are to be set apart. And sometimes it's taking that narrow path. Mm-hmm. So the church is an amazing place to go and to feel and to hear and to learn and to grow. But that alone, without having another place to be around people that are going through experiences and to build those relationships and have those conversations and people that understand and know what you're experiencing, it's lonely out there. And so this is just a wonderful place for people to come and share and, you know, to lift each other up and to push each other on and to hold arm in arm as they move forward towards their goals that they're trying to achieve.
You know, one of the things, that's a beautiful picture of the need that we have for each other, because I think of the scripture that talks about how that a three-cord strand is yes. not easily broken, and how mm-hmm. that blessed is the person who has one walking alongside, because when he mm-hmm. falls, there's somebody right there to lend a hand right. and to pick him up and to go on. And so you have not only the fellowship of someone else that's doing something similar to what you're aiming to do in your life, but you also have the help and the resource of encouragement. You know, if there's ever been a time in our lifetime where that is a valuable commodity, it has to be right now with this virus going on. And, you know, I was thinking the other day about this this issue of isolation. And, you know, mm-hmm. when quarantine hit in March, that was an odd thing, because people who are used to working alongside of other people day to day. It's like across the world, and especially mm-hmm. for, you know, this is our world here in America, we were changed almost, it's seemingly overnight. And, mm-hmm. and inside of 30 days, it's like life changed, and in a very concerning way. And it's this isolation away from each other, away from the thoughts, away from the camaraderie, away from the fellowship, that really can have a negative impact. And it's like this virus, then the virus itself, once you're even sick, let's say the people that have gotten this, they're having to be in what is even a deeper level of isolation. You know, people who are caring for them aren't really supposed to be going in. So this is really a time that I believe we need all the fellowship, we need all the help, we need all the camaraderie we can get in this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As I was listening to you talk, it reminded me, in March, I ended up having to go back to Kansas, and unfortunately, my dad passed away. And
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. But as you were talking about this, it reminded me of something that hit me and occurred to me when he passed away. And it's what it talks about in Matthew about the bags of our talent, the talent. Mm-hmm. The whole time I thought that that was really an illustration about money. I thought, okay, so the guy that got one bag, he buried the bag, and he, you know, that's all he did with it. And he kind of got a little bit of a scolding. And then you had the two bags, and he made four, and the five made 10. And I think about that in terms, you know, the Lord changed my heart. And he really showed me that verse, especially when my father passed away, in terms of, you know, we, our experiences, our gifts, the things that we have, you know, how are we depositing those in other people? How are we depositing those things in the world? Or are we burying them?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to sit and look at a grave and to see, you know, that, you know, and all the people that came and all the people that he had touched in his life there. And it really reminded me that. But as you're talking about the situation of isolation, and, you know, I think sometimes it is easy to just bury it and mm-hmm. just to hide and to find, you know, ways to just be able to get that light out there. Don't bury your talents. Don't bury your gifts. There's still ways to connect. And I think this is such a neat way to kind of reinvent yourself, to work on some things, maybe personally or professionally, that you have put off, maybe business ideas that you kind of kicked aside. Now is the time more than ever to be able to come back and come back strong and not just bury it and think, oh, I'm just going to wait till this all blows over. I'm not going to do anything. In the meantime, there's so many ways to connect and opportunities to connect. I would just encourage your listeners and everybody that can hear my voice to, you know, get out, talk to somebody, don't do this alone. I think that's one of the greatest fallacies that, you know, there's one leader at the top and that person did it alone. And that's not the case. You're not called to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to do it alone. And that's what I love about the Nehemiah E-Community Center, is that it's really a place for, you know, Christian entrepreneurs and Christian business people to come together and sharpen their sword to get around other Christian businesses and believers, and again, encourage each other. It's very similar to the Christian Chamber, but it's different. And we're holding hands in this to really make a movement and make a difference in the Central Florida area.
Well, that's very exciting to hear that there are places and resources, because, again, I'm convinced that people need that and maybe are hearing it. Sometimes, you know, the thing we need the most, sadly, we don't know we need it. And then all of a sudden, it's like someone pulls the blinders off our eyes and we can see, oh, yeah, I hear you talking, and boy, that sounds great. So, you know, give us, before we take another break here, give us your website, your contact information. How can people get in touch with you? First of all, to learn about what you do with Intent and Impact, but then also with the Chamber and how that they can get involved with you.
You bet. Well, I think the best way to get involved with me is to reach out through the Chamber and come in that way, and just come in with this group of Christian businesses and organizations and join our movement, join this movement that's happening in Central Florida. And then in doing that, we'll be able to connect. People will be able to get in touch with me that way. The website for the Christian Chamber is www.cfchristianchamber.com. And that CF stands for Central Florida. So it's real simple, www.cfchristianchamber.com.
Wonderful. Crystal Parker is my guest. We'll be back with one more segment with her coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. What a joy it is to have Crystal Parker with me here today. Crystal is the leader of a company called Impact, Intent and Impact. And did I say that right? Impact and
you
Intent.
You said it right. Yeah. No, Intent and Impact.
I said that right. And I,
yes.
Yeah, I should have written it down, and I knew that at some point I was going to get those two words. That is just what I sometimes juggle and make them come up the opposite way. But Intent and Impact. And
there you go.
It is not only that that she does. She's the president of the Central Florida Chamber of Commerce, and recently taking the role away from someone who gave happily this role to her, and that was Mark Goldstein, a friend of this program. He's on quite regularly, and Mark is a guy that just seems to know everybody, and I love that about him. You know, Crystal, you know, we're talking about the role of that isolation is played in businesses. And that's not uncommon, or that's not new. But it has been exacerbated without a doubt by this year, 2020. And I don't think any of us could have ever imagined the impact. Talk about impact. That news of it started off being something that was happening in China. And we were hearing the news stories back at the turn of the year. And as this new year began, about an outbreak of a sickness, and it just seemed like a million miles away. And then within just a short amount of weeks, now it's in our shores, and it was just in paltry numbers. You know, we thought, well, it's still not that big of a deal. But then it's like this thing has just ballooned, and it is now the driving word. It's the driving source of news. And obviously it's affected business. No one could have ever imagined the impact that the coronavirus would have had. And I remember a phrase, you and I were talking about this in the break, about President Trump's words, you know, and I think it was an optimistic hope that we could have been over this by Easter and everything go back to normal. And now we're not talking about it that way. We're talking about it stretching much, much farther. So when you look as a business person who is now leading the chamber and you're in touch as you are with people all over the region, what are you hearing about the impact of COVID into business in 2020?
It's really been split. Okay. So some businesses have really been hit hard. They mm-hmm. really have. Their whole business dried up because they couldn't open their doors. And some businesses have been able to pivot. I know that word gets overused a little bit, but they really have looked at new ways to serve. And then of course you have businesses that are thriving. The thing that I encourage business to do is through this whole pandemic is to focus on why they got into business in the first place. So that really resets the mindset. You know, change, and this is change, okay? This is a real change, how we've had to accept this isn't going away anytime soon, to your point. I mean, there is some people that believe it goes away after the election or whatever, but regardless of what your thoughts are on this and your beliefs, it's not going to just disappear. And change is hard. Change is hard to accept. But at some point, you've got to put your trust and your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ and God. You've got to recenter of why you got into business in the first place. Really focus on what that is. I love this quote. Breathing is to life like profits are to a business. See, breathing is essential for life, but it's not the purpose of living. Just like profits are essential to business, but they're not the purpose or the reason that the business exists. So if people can recenter and get real focused on why they got into business and to fill that need of whatever that need is that customer has that they're looking to fill, then they will be able to evolve, change, and respond to this situation. Okay, so when I think of people going through change, I sometimes might see people going through change with their fists balled up, gnashing their teeth, and in a real a stance, a posture. There's a posture behind it. Now, those people that choose to walk into a change that way do not fare well through a change.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with companies and people that there is a change that's coming, maybe it's new technology, maybe it's dealing with having to wear facial covering to serve people. Whatever the change is, if you open your hands in true surrender, open your hands and just release the fact that what you don't like, what you're not going to do, and you know, and looking in the rear view mirror and truly look out the front and move forward, stretch, press on, push on, forward. Let go of what's in the past. That's not going to serve you now in the future. And when I see these businesses that are evolving, that are changing, that are growing through this, it's that mindset that is the difference maker. And, you know, and it's not to take away from people that have had real, true, you know, catastrophic impact to their business. But some of the businesses that are thriving right now have also experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
So just know your source is Christ. Focus on him. He's the way maker. He's the way maker. He's the idea giver. He will inspire your innovation, your change. Focus on Christ. Remember why you got started. Open your hands. Look forward. Forget what's behind you and move. Mm. And those are the people that are going to make it, Mike.
You know, I love that phrase. I wrote it down. Breathing is to life what profit mm-hmm. is to business.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it like this, if I heard it right. While we all need profit in the business, that is not the main purpose for the business.
That's right.
That is just powerful.
Powerful.
And mm-hmm. we need that. We need to understand that behind all of this, there's a greater line, a greater purpose for our life, and that is to do the work of God, and that is to fulfill what He's got for us, and He has a plan. I love that the phrase from the Word, the Old Testament phrase, I have plans for you, not for evil, but they're good, good plans to prosper. Oh my goodness, that's something that God has for us. What a joy it is to have had you on the program with me here today, Crystal. And once again, this is Crystal Parker. She has her own company, but has recently taken over the leadership for the Central Florida Christian Chamber. And I know that, tell us a little bit about what's coming up in August at the meeting that is planned to be a face-to-face meeting at this point. Tell us about what's going on with that.
Thank you for qualifying that at this point.
Yes.
That's right. Exactly. Well, that we have a very exciting speaker in August the 13th, the Thursday, and you can find all this information on our website. But we have John C. Morgan, and he wrote a book. I cannot even thank God enough for the timing of him talking and his book that he wrote. The book is called War on Fear. And so I really encourage people to grab this book. I've read it. It's amazing. It really puts fear into perspective and really gives a godly perspective. And also John C. Morgan, if you've not heard him speak or seen some of his videos, check out his website, because he's really funny and he gets very candid and stripped down in this book and really tells a great lesson about fear and how it can really paralyze you. And it's the bondage that people find themselves in fear. And so August 13th, check that out. You guys can find us at www.cfchristianchamber.com. Go to the contact us page, phone numbers there, information's there. You can reach us. We would love to serve you, serve your business. And we really believe in serve, don't sell, where you can come to a place and get to know people that are doing business God's way. You get an opportunity to meet people that know you, like you, trust you. They want to do business with you. It just naturally happens, Mike. And we'd love to serve the Central Florida area businesses in any way that we can.
Oh, it's going to be great. John is a good friend. You know, he was my first guest on this program.
Yeah. And I did not.
Yeah,
that's great.
He is a dear friend, known him for 35 years. Love the guy. He's on the show regularly as well. So that's going to be so much fun. I can't wait for that one. Crystal Parker, thank you for being with me today. And friends, thank you for being here as well. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.